This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I smell love and I soon discovered that you're gone for good.
My indiscretions made a bad way. Sun is out. Baseball is back.
Is the sun out?
Well, in theory,
it'll be on.
It's dry.
Wet blanket.
Jeez, it's opening day, not today. Any day but today. With
that's
your nonsense.
That's what I was trying to do. I was going to paint a picture, and the wet blanket jumped
well,
in.
Well, you're lying to the listeners.
It doesn't matter.
It's a fib. It's a fib, not a lie.
Grab yourself a cup of Joe and enjoy some Cardinal baseball. Can't wait.
A frosty brew, a sunshine, and Cardinals baseball.
It is the home opener, Cardinals and Padres, and we're just miles from the stadium here. We're at our Kirkwood Studios, live at the 590 headquarters. Martin Kilquin, Charlie Marlowe, in for Frank. Actually, I don't think he's wearing a red tie.
Wow.
I believe.
He's gonna get yelled at.
No, he showed us yesterday. They have some KSDK gear. And I have to say, it looked a little more like a teeny bopper kind of thing.
Well, it looked like the kind of shirt you'd get for running a 5K.
Ooh, yeah. I got to see this.
It was very. And I would never make fun of the competition.
Never.
No, I mean, I've not done that over the years.
Never.
It's not my competition.
Never.
But I think Frank was even a little concerned. Because I'm sure. Monique probably picked out a beautiful red tie, had something in mind for him, and he's like, well, I'll be wearing this. And it looked kind of like you won your, maybe a softball shirt with the long sleeve, red on the sides, white in the middle. I'm sure it looks good on him.
Frank probably said,
to be fair.
Yeah, I guess I'll wear this. Okay. Because Frank takes his fashion and style pretty seriously.
I think he does.
He's a pretty well-dressed man. I'd say a very well-dressed man, and he takes chances. We know, of course, with the famous mock turtleneck, and then I wore kind of the Gary Pinkle mock turtleneck once at a Blues game for a live shot.
Did you see him, Kai?
And Frank saw me, and he actually texted me. He was like three sections over, also doing a live shot. He said, are you wearing a mock turtleneck? I said, I'm here with you, buddy. I'm here for the movement.
I stand with Frank.
Let's do this.
You guys wear the mock turtlenecks. We simply mock. That's how we roll. Welcome aboard. We're here till 1 o'clock, of course, coveted hour at 12, midday grind. I did have a moment. You know, there's always an awkward moment. I can't go an hour without an awkward moment.
That's fair.
Okay, I had two this morning. We've talked a lot about bathroom issues this week. We're not going to revisit all of that. But maybe there is a little bit of karma.
Oh, no. Mm. So now
I drop my son off at school, and then I run to a neighborhood gas station. I just needed to kind of just rinse my hands, throw some water in my face. I had to go downtown to do an interview, and I just had to kind of get cleaned up for a second. I run in. It's one of those places where you got to get the key.
Oh no.
That's a bad sign. I'd find another one after
but
that.
But the guy says, we had to shut it down. And I said, what? He said, somebody destroyed our bathroom. So I called up a picture I had of Charlie, and I was like, this is not this guy. But it's because in recent days there have been some toilet issues. I thought, this is karma now.
Yeah.
Somebody destroyed it. So when I needed it, just to throw a little water in my face, rinse my hands, it was unavailable. And then I'm downtown at a QT, and it's packed. I'm just getting a little bit of coffee. And there's a St. Louis police officer there in full uniform. And I'm wearing my Cardinal gear today. We have station-issued gear. You almost never see Martin wearing Fox 2 gear. Just traditionally, we don't have a lot of it.
Nice
are you not proud of Fox 2?
No, it's just that I don't like to wear. I don't think we should all be wearing the exact same thing. And typically, when we have big events like today, they'll say everybody wear their gear. I think it looks silly.
It's a nice red jacket too.
This is a nice red jacket.
That's the Zach coat.
Zach Choate. Yes,
I love the guy. He's my boy.
He's your boy.
No one loves the Fox 2 red windbreaker more than my man, Zach Choate.
I got to say, let's rank them. I think Patrick Clark, Dan Gray, they wear it a fair amount. But you're right. Zach sort of lives. So I got an email the other day and said, do you have your Fox 2 KPLR red coat? Because we want you to wear it on opening day. And I had to look in my closet, and they said, you should have been given one in the last couple of years. I pulled it out. It had all the labels and stickers, and I had to cut off all the brand spanking new. So I walk into the Quick Trip. And the police officer standing there, he said, oh, I've been watching you all morning. Except I have not been on TV yet today.
So who was it?
I just said, oh, you know how we are. We're going crazy today. He goes, yeah, you were up early and you've been going all day. And I said, yeah, it's one of those days. And then I'm thinking, Doug Vaughn was on radio, so it wasn't Doug.
Rich Gould?
Rich Gould was not on this morning.
So Zach Choate?
Do you think Zach hasn't been on yet?
Dan Gray?
I have no idea. John Pertzborn and Martin? I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm just generic dopey sports guy in a Cardinal red coat.
And look, you obviously are from here. You've been the sports director for, what, 20 years? So I think most people know that you're Fox 2 and probably know your name. But I do think sometimes, okay, here's my story. I think sometimes people just recognize some TV people from TV and don't remember what station. And again, we had some fireplace workers at our house, and one of the guys said, you know, you look really familiar. And I said, well, I'm a TV sports guy. And the guy goes, yeah, KMOV. And I was like, well, it's KTVI, sure. But either way.
Hey, you're on the 3 Fox. Well, close. There isn't really a 3, but yeah, close. No, I know what you mean. It's just sort of generic TV. You're one of those guys.
One of those doofuses.
I've seen you on TV. Hey, Martin.
I like the floating, rotating baseball on your
Thank
TV,
you.
By the way.
That what was nice. Going on? Hold on a second.
Martin
no, stop.
Was pointing
no, stop.
To the screen.
You know, I'm trying to tell a great story.
It was great.
I'm clearly trying to buy time. You guys are landing planes over there like there's something going on.
I thought
just
you were referring
me.
At first to the story about the guy who said he was the missing child from 8 years ago, and
which is a huge
DNA
story.
Has proven that to not be true. I thought you were pointing to that story, like, let's talk about that, and then all of a sudden you start mouthing, like, start rotating your hand, like, oh, he's talking about the baseball in the corner.
The Fox 2 logo all day today.
It was a great story, Chuck.
The O in Fox is a rotating baseball.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
I just noticed that.
Last Thursday, I was in Milwaukee, and Fox 6, our sister station, had the same ball.
Did you steal their idea?
I did. I
took. Oh, nice. Martin.
I like that.
What's wrong with that's our sister station. It was opening day in Milwaukee. I took a picture and I sent it to the powers that be at the 2 Fox and said, we should be doing this. And it looks actually very cool. Hey, let's do this. Nice. Instead of 5 for Frank, Frank's down at the ballpark. Oh, we may check in with him in a little bit. Instead, we'll do, who's this? 5 for Chuck. What do you say we do it? Brought to you by Greenville University, a renowned institution. Not far from St. Louis at all. They bring you 5 for Frank every day in the 11 o'clock hour. But when Chuck's here, of course, we alter it just a bit and do 5 questions for Frank. 3, 2,
and Chuck.
And 1.
And
there time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Chuck. Biggest ovation on opening day. Other than Paul Goldschmidt, do we agree he's the leader in the clubhouse and he gets that big Cardinal welcome today?
I don't know. Maybe Ozuna? What do you think?
That's a good one.
Okay. I thought you were going to have a serious
No. Thing. That was just a little joke there. We have a lot of time to kill.
Ooh, I have a
so,
guess.
So
we've got time for jokes.
Do you think...
just enough.
Do you think that Goldies will be bigger than Yachty's?
Well, I put on the list Lou, being an old-timer.
Yeah.
Because Lou's had a lot of health problems, and I think... I don't know. He's not older than Gibson, but he's had a lot of health issues, so I think people are going to be really excited. There's recent years where Lou hasn't made it to opening day or to spring training, so I think Lou's going to get a monster ovation. Goldschmidt's probably the obvious pick. But
are we just doing current players, though?
So you want to take old-timers off?
I feel like, yeah, because there might be a couple who. That's kind of harder to gauge, I feel like.
Okay.
Because McGee will get a big one.
Yeah.
Because he's Willie McGee.
And this is such a St. Louis conversation, but I don't mind it one day a year.
Well, yesterday
one
was
day.
Our
we
yesterday
this,
was
on.
Our Brewers conversation about beer bellies and baseball.
And so hold on. We do this once a week. But go
people,
ahead.
People like this stuff.
People love this stuff. Driving down right now in their cars,
yeah,
in the Uber, they want to hear sports talk. We bring it for them, okay?
If they want to hear sports talk, they're probably listening to 101. But they enjoy our banter, Chuck.
Correct.
People love this stuff.
In theory.
People get it. That's what I'm learning. We've talked on this show about... how the Blues games always end right before Fox 2 Sports at 9:40.
Right at 9:41-ish.
And the game's always got like a minute left, and they get a tying goal, or they give up the tying goal. Last night, a guy tweets me, he goes, hey, it's 9:40, game's almost over, perfect. To Fox. And he said, just in time for the sports bump.
Can I go off on a tangent for 1 second?
Go ahead. We're
from
a show
our,
of tangents.
From our questions, just because you brought that up. That is the case every night, especially with a 7:15 Blues start. Cardinals not as much because those games usually end around 10, However, I believe it was it Wednesday night where you had Blues Hawks going to a shootout, correct? And you had Cardinals Pirates, an East Coast start that took forever and went into extra innings. So that happened where literally as I'm walking in the commercial break from the sports office to the set, both games like went to a shootout or extra innings the second I'm walking out there, and everything changes. And that happens
every night. It always happens. So Yachty or Goldie, what do you got?
I just think I'll go with Goldie. I'll go with Goldie just because
Yachty
it's his
just played
first
third
time.
Base.
I know. But Goldie, he signed the extension. He had the three-homer game. It's the first time. I think the best fans in baseball, I truly think they know when it's their moment. I'm not even joking here. To kind of welcome the guy and show the love. And I think they'll do that. Yachty always gets it. He'll get it every game for the rest of his career. This is the one first time for Goldie.
Yachty got it at the Blues game, too. So that should sort of take away from tonight. Charlie Tuna says it'll be Willie McGee, who always gets a huge
ovation.
What about
someone like Colton Wong, who's off to a really good start and kind of his image has improved, I feel like, since the surgery?
Popular, but yeah, not at that level.
Is there anybody listening, though, that...
Is there anybody listening?
No, don't be rude.
No.
Frank always says our 10 listeners. Is that what he said?
He said 100.
Okay.
I feel like we have more than that.
But have you watched... You'll watch a game show or whatever, and they'll pull the audience, and they have, like, the noise-o-meter. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Why can't we have somebody down there with a noise-o-meter and actually gauge these things?
Does Zach have one?
Does he?
I think that's a great point.
Can't we actually figure this out? There has to be a technology to measure the decibel level.
Hey, Sally, you got a noise-o-meter when you're packed? Take your noise-o-meter down there. I agree. I would like an official answer. All right, number two for Chuck. The Cubs are 1-5. Does it mean anything?
Yes.
Man, I actually was high. I'm not saying I was high on the Cubs before the season started. I'm not going to just go crazy after 1 week, but they do seem to be in disarray, and this is coming off an offseason where there's a lot of question marks and Joe Maddon being a lame duck manager. I still think they have all the talent in the world to win this division. So I've said for every team, talk to me on May 1st and let's see how it all has played out in between there. Because I think 1 week, it's just too much
for
good
sure.
or bad to judge teams based on.
For sure. June 14th, of course,
Flag Day.
But the Cubs' optics on how they were going to be more structured, more serious, I just wonder if they're going to end up being uptight, which is not like Theo's idea that we got to button this thing down doesn't necessarily jive with Joe Maddon being your manager. Like, you can't ask... You can't tell Mike Matheny, hey, just kind of be silly. That's not who he is. And to tell Joe Maddon, you need to be super serious. I don't know that it fits, but it's all about pitching. Darvish was bad again. The bullpen has been terrible. Why don't they get in on Kimbrel? I know they got guys injured, but
money.
They don't have any money to spend. And their owner has even said, we got nothing left. It's too early to gauge the Cubs season.
And the bullpen's so bad, I'm not sure Kimbrel solves it.
But he'd certainly help.
No, but they're not getting outs really anywhere right now from anyone in their pen. I will say, because like the Red Sox off to a bad start, same with Houston, but they have their issue is hitting, and they have hitters on their team who you expect to hit. The Cubs are just playing bad. They're kicking the ball around, throwing it all over the field. One point last night, there was a strikeout. They threw the ball away going around the horn. That's how out of sync they are right now. That's
happens.
A mess.
It happens. All right, number three, 5 for Chuck. Jordan Binnington just wins. Did give up 3 goals in the first period. Level of confidence in Benner come playoff time. Any concerns, untested, unproven playoff goalie, any concerns?
I think those are all fair questions to wonder when the lights are the brightest in the postseason. Will he carry this over? I just feel like That's a question for any untested goalie. When you speak with Jordan Binnington, when you watch him out there, he's fundamentally sound, but also he just seems like the type of guy who isn't rattled. And I think a lot of that has to do with your personality. Now maybe I'm wrong on that, but when you talk with Jordan Binnington, he's not the guy that has the peaks and valleys. And I feel like in a very small sample size of games, we've seen that. He can be great. And he has 5 shutouts, but he's also very consistent. And again, it's a small sample size, but off the top of my head, what's the worst Jordan Binnington game? Can you think of just an awful game where he gave up six? Now, maybe he did. I can't think of any games like that.
I think he came in relief and was bad early before he became a starter. But you're right. There's been games where you said, hey, he could have been a little better. Oh, and they won. He probably could have stopped some of those early shots. But then he settled down. He hasn't really bleeped the bat, as they say.
And that's where last night's game, of course, all the talk is you have 8 total goals in the first period and there's 10 goals total and the Blues put 7 on the board. And then as you're kind of looking deeper, you go, oh, yeah, and Jordan Binnington, rock solid, 25 of 28. Oh, by the way, sets a franchise rookie record for wins for a goaltender. And then you check that record. The record this year is absolutely unbelievable. What is it, something like 22-5 and 1?
Yeah, and 1 on the
whatever it is, it's ridiculous.
Number 4, the final 4, Sparty, Texas Tech, Auburn, Virginia. Who you got? You don't have to tell us who you put money on because that's a different topic. Who do you like there? I mean, Michigan State's a more proven commodity at this time, but Texas Tech is really good. That's as close to a pick'em.
Yeah.
Auburn and Virginia is two different styles. We know that. If you told me any one of these four won the national championship, would you be surprised?
I would not be at this point. And I'm with Hoffman that I just it's hard for me to root for the style of Virginia basketball.
Thank you.
But then on the other side, can I root for Bruce Pearl? Plus,
no.
I'm an SEC hater.
Why not?
I always have been. That's before I even moved here. So don't start with me, Mizzou fans. So I have to say I'm gonna hope that.
And by the way, when you
Tony
moved
Bennett,
here, they were in the Big 12.
That's what I'm saying. But anybody says, oh, you're a Mizzou hater. No, this is going back 10 years or
if
so.
If Auburn loses, does the Final Four matter? Final Four games don't count, right? If Auburn loses.
If they're not trying.
SEC, yeah. This is the bowl game.
That's
math.
The bowl
right.
game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were going with, like, will they bring the banner down because, of course,
of Bruce Pearl.
6 months later, there'll be probably
well,
some
be
type
too,
of
I suppose.
Do you think there was a cheater's bracket that the selection committee, because they had Auburn to get there with Bruce Pearl, the tainted Bruce Pearl, to get there, had to beat North Carolina and their fake school of study, mm-hmm. whatever they called it, Kansas and the shoe scandal that's haunting Bill Self at this point, and then Coach Cal, who's had how many Final Fours vacated? 2 at UMass and Memphis? Yeah. Just two.
Don't you feel like he's been good lately, though?
Cal?
He's been good lately.
He's been now, good maybe, lately.
Now, maybe the bar is low, but I feel like we haven't. Now, think about it. Have we heard allegations with Cal in the last 7-8 years?
Oh, you're talking about Cal like you talk about a puppy.
He's improving.
He's been good lately.
I wish Larry would come out and
listen.
Say, he's been good lately.
Okay, go back to UMass, right? Clear issues. Go to Memphis. The whole deal with Derrick Rose allegedly taking his ACT in Detroit, although he lived in Chicago. And look, here's the other thing. I love Illinois. I love Chicago basketball. It's hard to get a recruit out of Chicago on the up and up because an AAU coach is getting a job or a shoe guy is getting a job, and Cal over the years has gotten a lot of big-time guys out of Chicago. All I'm saying is, for years, Cal was the poster child for basically how not to do things in the NCAA for basketball, and I feel like the last 7-8 years, we don't talk about that as much.
He's been good lately. So who wins the national championship? Let me just – who could I see winning it all? The team I least want to see win it is Auburn.
100%.
Because of Bruce Pearl. I'm going to go Virginia.
That's the best story.
I think the
it's
Virginia.
Not the best story.
It is because
it's the worst experience.
No.
It's the worst experience, but.
And the worst story.
When you're the. No, come on. When you're the first team ever as a one seed to lose to a 16.
That's a great story.
And the next year you win it all. That's an unbelievable
and
story.
And Soderberg the other day, Brad Soderberg, the assistant with Tony Bennett, who used to be at SLU, of course, saying it's not the elephant in the room. It is all. Like he basically said. That thing haunted us. Everything you did. He said he would talk to his dad during the season. They'd beat Duke. And his dad would say, oh, Brad, great one. He's like, doesn't matter, Dad. They'd beat North Carolina. His dad's like, isn't that awesome you beat? He's like, I know, but it's still, nothing matters until we make some kind of.
Nothing matters. Wow.
I think that, I'm paraphrasing, but they are vindicated by getting to the Final Four, even though he hated that word.
Nah, that game's still awesome.
I think if they win it all, it's a tremendous story.
Mm-mm.
This is a homer play.
Oh, boy.
But I truly feel like this year, because they've already slayed the dragon in Duke and Coach K, who owned Izzo, has owned Izzo for 25 years. That was the talented team that has all of the NBA future superstars. Now, everybody left. Is there now a talent disparity between any of these teams? Think about that.
No.
Okay, so who's the best coach? To me, who's the best in-game coach?
Oh, Izzo.
I think it's Izzo. Yeah. And I just think, like, I wouldn't have predicted that Michigan State won it all before the tournament started. But now that there's four teams left, I like Tom Izzo. He's great at one-day prep also, whoever they're going to play from Saturday to Monday if they win. I like his chances to win two games over the weekend.
This is also a way where Chuck can say, hey, Bradley, we lost to the eventual national. We lost to the eventual national.
But look,
there
you, go. You guys can say, hey, we lost by what, 25? What was it?
20.
Or more. I don't remember.
You lost to probably the number two pick in the draft.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he went on to the final. No. Well, no, he lost his next game by like 50.
We lost by 20 to a team that also lost their next game by 20. So that means they lost by 40.
Yeah. What? Five for Frank slash Chuck. Number five, your level of surprise in reading some of the stories now coming out of Green Bay. So it started with, we'd always wondered, and I think a coach-QB relationship can be strained. Martz and Warner. Belichick, Brady, a lot of stuff there. It's a long time together, a lot of meetings, a lot of who gets the credit, who gets the blame, coach or quarterback. So Mike McCarthy did the big interview the other day. It said the exit was hurtful, unceremonious, etc. And I think there's some argument to be made. Just let him finish the year at that point. You didn't, I mean, we could start our coaching search. You can start your coaching search with you 2 years ahead of time if you want to. I mean, they're all scoundrels. It doesn't matter. But now there's a big piece at Bleacher Report, and it sort of details the rift between McCarthy and Rodgers. And it talks to a number of players. Some are on the record, like Ryan Grant, the former running back. A lot of anonymous sources. But what you have is the arrogant quarterback, which everybody up there says that. He's not quite over himself yet. It's all about Aaron Rodgers. But that he was just sort of disgusted, done with McCarthy as a play caller, thought some of his plays were stupid, didn't know what he was doing. This is the picture that's painted. But on top of that, they say McCarthy would be missing meetings. And players were wondering, well, where is he? Why is the assistant running the meeting? And it was known in the building he was upstairs getting a massage.
Good for him.
Want to loosen up for get the week for the big day of practice.
What's with the NFL and massages?
Oh, that's a good question. See, now we have to investigate this parlor or whoever they're sending over to make sure that's on the up and up.
So the first thing McCarthy does, he after the article comes out, and it's in-depth, it's if you're a Packer fan, it's probably disappointing because they point out. Now, somebody said they should have won at least six rings.
That's a lot of rings.
That's stupid.
How about two, though?
Could they have won more? Should they have won more? Yes. But I think to just write about the soap opera that went on doesn't pay enough time on the fact that the talent level dropped off a great deal. But the first thing McCarthy did, and it's a lengthy piece, is he says, that's absurd. I never got a massage. Like, that was his first thing to respond to, was about the massage. And it was not anything lurid. It was a masseuse in the building that the players would go to. But they said he would schedule them where he could go during meetings. But I don't, you're a busy guy, I get it. If you got a meeting to run, you could probably run the meeting and then get the massage later. You're the Packers head coach. They could schedule it for 5 a.m. or midnight, whenever you have time. That's the part that sounds a little weird. But he says it's totally absurd.
So,
level of surprise there was drama in Green Bay.
0% level of surprise. So if he's denying this, now maybe it was acupuncture. Maybe it was chiropractor. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just a massage. Maybe he had back issues. I don't know. I will say this. I agree with the point
very
that...
very common for coaches to have back issues.
Spot on impersonation there. Look, Aaron Rodgers still probably has a good, 5 years left. I do think before it's all said and done, if Aaron Rodgers only has one ring, I think it's fair to say that he underperformed a bit because I think that guy is the most talented quarterback out there. Obviously, Brady's the GOAT with all the rings, but he has Belichick and the system. I think Aaron Rodgers can make throws and make plays that nobody else can make. So I do think it's fair if he doesn't have at least two rings that you can say, okay, a little bit of an underperformance. Every story you hear the last 5 years is that Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude.
Yes.
He doesn't talk to his family. His brother's out there awkwardly on The Bachelor trying to explain why they have a bad relationship. And Olivia Munn and different girlfriends.
Danica
I feel like.
Patrick now.
Danica Patrick. No, good for him on the girlfriend side.
But I'm
side.
Saying like celebrity kind of dating.
But I just feel like he's a weird dude. There's always kind of stories about him back in the day and with his family. And I don't think he's the easiest guy to work with.
Well, and one of the elements of the story, they said he was always bitter towards McCarthy because of draft day. And Rodgers is one of the most famous examples of dropping on draft day, and they keep showing the awkward shot of him not getting picked. And I'm reading that thinking, well, McCarthy wasn't there in 05. It was Mike Sherman's team. No, they said because McCarthy was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, and it says in the article, and he drafted Alex Smith. I'm like, hold on. He was the OC. Now, did he say, hey, I wouldn't mind having this guy, or I think this guy's going to be good? And they draft Alex Smith, number one overall. I don't think that's accurate to say McCarthy drafted Alex Smith. When you're the offensive coordinator, you're not the coach, you're not the GM. They said Rodgers never forgave him for that, even though he wasn't in Green Bay at the time. Makes no sense.
But when you say that, and who knows if that's true, but does that surprise you? And that's my point, is that the way Aaron Rodgers' brain seems to work, it wouldn't shock me that he would take something as odd as that and take it personally. You know what I'm saying? Again, to not talk to your family who raised you, I mean, don't you feel like the dude's kind of a weird guy? And so maybe yes. he would hold a grudge for something really random that's not even Mike McCarthy's fault from 12 years ago.
That is 5 for Frank/Chuck, brought to you by GreenvilleUniversity.edu. It's opening day in St. Louis. Of course it is. The Padres and Manny Machado are in town. First of three. Then the Dodgers are here for David Freese. I almost forgot. He's back with the Dodgers. Had a big hit the other night. Dodgers for four, so it's a 7-game homestand. Frank Cusimano, normally the host of this show, down at the park. We'll check in with him momentarily. Maryville University sponsors the listener line, and if you want to text in, we'll get to those texts probably Monday. I don't know.
I just checked them. We got some good ones.
855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. Charles Glenn is going to join us in studio at 12:45. Charles Glenn, the anthem singer at the Blues games. Tomorrow, his final regular season game. He's going to retire after all these great years of singing the anthem. But right now, down to Busch Stadium with Frank Cusimano. Frank, how are you?
Good to be with you, Martin. How are you, sir? We're live here at Busch Stadium. I've been holding the Fox 2 mic during all of our interviews. I wish I would have turned the power on, but I did hold the mic.
Oh, that's
sabotage.
That's new for Frank. I haven't seen you on TV. Are you rocking the bowling/t-shirt?
Oh, you seen that? Oh, I did show it to you. We actually have to just show that, wear that at our appearance at Patio's here in just a moment, but I'm not wearing it like out in public.
Wow.
What's the most interesting thing that's been said at the park today, or most interesting thing that you've seen?
You know, when we talked to a bunch of the guys about what it's like when they're actually going through the line and shaking hands, and I thought Miles Michaelis just said, oh my gosh, I'm shaking Ozzie's hand, and then I'm shaking Bob Gibson's hand, and then I'm shaking Lou Brock's hand. It's like a huge rush, like all right in a row. So it's kind of a cool thing for them. Paul Goldschmidt, as you guys both know, is the most polite superstar in the history of superstars. Like, we walk into the clubhouse, and he says, hey, would you guys mind? I got to go hit for a minute. But we say, oh, sure, anything you want. And then he comes back, and then he apologizes again. And then we do the interview, and he says, hey, sorry about that, guys. There just could not be a nicer superstar ever.
Frank, I'm trying to do the math here timing-wise about when Schilt or maybe Mozeliak will talk. And I'm, you know, obviously opening day, it's all about the pomp and circumstance. But I feel like also with Marcell Ozuna, what's the talk there about, you know, how hurt he could be, I guess?
Well, he's actually in the lineup, which kind of surprised me. And manager Schilt will address that in about 9 minutes. And then John Mozeliak will join us at 12 o'clock. Jed Jerko said it. He said, I would not be activated unless I'm 100% and I'm ready to go. And you got to remember, when Jerko plays against the Padres, he usually causes a little bit of damage. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the lineup at least one day this weekend.
Frank Cusimano live at the ballpark. Give us the forecast down there. It's dry, I guess. It's not exactly sunny and bright, but still better than yesterday.
Yeah, it's really overcast and it's wet. But, you know, we have the best grounds crew around, so the field looks just spectacular. I feel like I'm looking at Augusta, Georgia right now. But we won't see any sun all day long, which is okay as long as there's no rain.
And we've got Jack Flaherty on the mound today, an emerging ace. Could be the first of many home opener starts for him, I would think. And he's in a tough spot because that's a young guy who probably is excited to be there, be a part of it, and yet he's got to kind of lock in and worry about getting Machado and the Padres out.
Yeah, and Fernando Tatis Jr. You're right, though. I wonder if this is going to be the beginning of a consecutive streak for him starting opening days. And I think, you know, even though he wasn't great in his first outing, as you guys both know and everybody in our audience knows, he's a guy that kind of can slow down big moments and probably will thrive in it. And I think, well, I guess the way Wach is pitching, he may be the best man for the job, but Jack Flaherty is certainly able to have a great outing here today.
All right, Frank, we'll let you go. I know you got some TV duties. We'll see you shortly at the ballpark. Frank Cusumano checking in live from Busch. And if you need to, turn that KMLV mic off if you had to make a tough call today.
If I have to turn off one of the mics, it'll be Channel 4, not Channel 2. It's a good call.
Nice.
There you go.
Thanks,
Frank,
buddy.
Checking in from the ballpark. And, again, the Maryville listener line is 855-282-8255 for all of our Cardinal fans and other hot topics here on this Friday in St. Louis. We're actually watching Fox 2, a live view of the ballpark. Zach Choke down there. And the field looks pristine. Rare to go. And as much as the
best
weather
grounds
people.
Best crew in baseball.
100%.
Is that a new.
That's our new thing today.
B-G-I-B?
B-G-C-I-B. Grounds
okay.
Crew.
Grounds crew. Two words, grounds crew. Let's do this quick break, and then we'll talk about Albert Pujols, who made some comments to Graham Benzinger about his exit from St. Louis. First time in a long time, I think he's really opened up about it. We'll get into that conversation when we come back.